Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Goprem. Tonight we'll complete the overview, chapters 64 to 69. This will be the final section for this year. And then we'll have the exam next Monday, 7 o'clock here in the theatre room. So this will be the last class for this year. And then we'll do the exam. And that will be the conclusion. Okay. So then what is chapter 64 called?
Deliverance of Nigga.
the deliverance of King Nigga. So, this pastime of King Nigga is showing us that we must be careful of pride. Because pride is one of the great downfalls. It's the enemy of the devotee. When you become proud, you cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Humility is the emblem. It's the first quality. Lord Chaitanya lists 26 qualities of the devotee. Second quality that he mentions, but it's considered to be like the crest jewel of the devotee's qualities. So if one becomes proud, then it becomes very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we know in the pastime that Nriga, the boys, Krishna's sons, they were out playing. And the ball fell down the well. And they looked down the well and they saw a very large lizard. And they tried to get the lizard out of the well, but they couldn't. So they ran back into Dwarka. And they told Krishna, they said, there's a very large lizard in there. So Krishna came out, put his left hand down the well, and grabbed the lizard and pulled the lizard out. And by the touch of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, just by his touch, then Nriga was purified of his offense, of his aparad. And being purified of his offense, then he took the form of Devata. Yeah, he's, well, it means his original form, I guess, the king. Okay. So this is the potency of contact with Krishna in any form, in the form of the holy name or the form of the deity or the form of the Bhagavatam or any of Krishna's forms. Then one becomes purified and one becomes cleansed of offense. We become offensive. If we're committing offenses to devotees, that means we're distant from Krishna in our consciousness. Because one who is close to Krishna in his consciousness will not commit offenses to the devotees. So it's only when we're in an improper state of consciousness that we commit offenses. So they asked Nriga, they said, please tell us. Krishna was very humble and said, please tell us. What is your history? How did you take this form as a lizard? The boys were quite amazed. The lizard turned into a king. So they were quite amazed by the situation. And then they said, please tell us what happened. And Nriga explained the pastime, how he'd given the cows in charity. And then the cows got mixed up. Then one of the Brahmanas got very upset. So the basic principle is that If there are reactions taking place in our life, that is because we deserve these reactions. If negative things are taking place in your life, that is because of the karma that we've performed in our previous life. So, the reactions which are there, they're always because of what we've done previously. So anything that we're going through now in this lifetime is because of the impious activities that we've performed, all the pious activities we've performed previously. So you cannot escape the reactions, that's the point. The only way to escape the reactions, you have to fully renounce the material world, which is difficult. You know, we all have these situations. Just like, you know, I received a phone call from one of my family members this morning, and now they're trying to embroil me in some family situation. So I've got two choices. One, I just don't turn up completely. Don't get involved, which is actually what I want to do. Or I have to consider that if I do that, that may even make things even worse. So I have to at least turn up. But to be honest, I don't really care. It's their maya. It's just their minds, which are not surrendered to Krishna. Now, I've told them all the same thing. You know, surrender to Krishna, you don't have these problems. So they won't do it. So we're only going to get so involved. So the reactions will come regardless. You can't avoid these things in the material world. And then he described that he was Nriga and that he gave charity. So the basic principle is that we should serve cows. Yeah. This is shown in this pastime. The importance of cows all through the Vedic culture. Extremely significant. Just like we had the Go Puja celebration a few days ago at the farm. And we had a record number of people come. So many people came. Over 400 people turned up. We got the most Lakshmi, the most donations we ever got. We raised over $8,000. People donated for the cows. Okay. So it was a very, very successful program. Many new people came. So it's a very intrinsic part of Vedic culture that cows must be worshipped and cared for. So then, also one must honour brahmanas. But the problem is these days, in Kali Yuga, the brahmanas are materialistic. They do their rituals and their pujas and their things, but it's also they can get something in return. It's all, in Kali Yuga, everything's based on money. Everything's based on acquisition of wealth. Kali resides where wealth is hoarded, where gold is hoarded. So wherever there's gold, everyone becomes contaminated. So the brahmanas also in Kali Yuga, they become contaminated. And they're really only interested in money. So we should not engage with ritualistic brahmanas, because the donation was given by King Nriga, and accidentally one cow went across to the other. But then the brahmanas, they got very upset, and it all came down to rules and regulations. And this is called niyamagraha. We got too much attached to rules and regulations. And you see these days, some of the smarter brahmanas, too much attached to rules and regulations. What's the big deal? A cow went over to one side, just get the cow back. This whole pastime could have been resolved in that 5 seconds. You know, someone's cow just swaps over, you just send the cow back. But on, no, because you have given and now it's gone here and then I cannot give it back. That's just all rules and regulations. Devotees not so interested in all these things. Actually, these things are an impediment to spiritual life. Too much attached to rules and regulations. It's not the mood in ISKCON. ISKCON devotees are not overly attached to the rules and regulations. You know, we follow the rules, we follow the regulations, but not to the point where it becomes detrimental to our bhakti, our devotional service. So this was too materialistic, in consciousness. So then, unfortunately, Nriga, he had to accept the curse of the Brahmana, the offense. And when he went to Yamaraj, Yamaraj said, what would you like first? Would you like to suffer or would you like to enjoy? So which one would you choose?
Suffering.
Suffering. We all choose suffering. Because we know a little bit of suffering, and then so we all choose the suffering. So that's the wise thing to choose. So the point is that you have to take austerity first if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. It's like the next couple of days, Kartik begins. Right? Some devotees will begin Kartik tomorrow, some devotees will begin on Thursday. Up to you when you want to. I'm going to begin tomorrow. So then we do a little bit of austerity. Yeah? We push ourselves. Yeah? We may chant more rounds or do different things, but we push ourselves. Why? So that we can attain Krishna. That's the basic premise of the Bhagavad Gita. Tapojivyam. You must perform austerities. If you want to reach Krishna, there is no alternative. You must do tapasya. Be willingly involved in tapasya. So Kartik is there. So then you choose your vows. You know? For 1 month, you can give up eating sweets. No sweets for 1 month. I did that one time. I nearly left my body. Very severe austerity. And then I tried it the next year. I couldn't do it. I did it once. I was very young at the time. But we have to do some austerity. If you want to attain Krishna, you have to sacrifice. That's the basic principle.
Arisoma does to the sweets for me.
What's that?
Arisoma does to the sweets.
Me? Yeah. I like that. I don't eat sweets a lot, but, you know, 1 month without... Especially when you're... yeah, Govardhan Puja and all those things. It's an austerity. If you can do it. If you can do it, it's good. It says in the Shastra, one thing you can do for Kartik is you can give up some particular food stuff that you like for 1 month for Krishna's pleasure.
Shrikhand.
Yeah, Shrikhand's easy. That's just one thing. But I mean, if sweets in general, that's more austere. So if you can do something like that. But anyway, it's up to you. Whatever you want to do. So, Nriga, he remained humble even through all this trial and tribulation. And he was blessed by Krishna that he could remember him. So even in the form of the lizard, he was still remembering Krishna. The basic point that we should understand is that don't get caught up in karma kanda things. There are three types of karma. So there's karma, vikarma, and akarma. So we're only interested in akarma as devotees. The reason Nriga had to get involved in all of this and accept the reactions, because he was performing karma. It was material activities. Devotees were not interested in these things. If we do anything, it's for Krishna's pleasure. And if we do everything for Krishna's pleasure, everything is akarma and you don't receive reactions.
Donating causes not for the pleasure of
Depends who you donate them to. If you donate them to devotees, then it's bhakti. If you donate to some smarter brahmana, it's not necessarily bhakti. Maybe karma kanda.
Isn't it more important when you donate the intention you're donating?
What's that?
Isn't it more important the intention you're donating with rather than who? When you're doing it for Krishna?
No, both have to be there.
Both?
Yeah, you have to consider who you're giving it to. You can't just give to anyone, it's who you give it to. Like when I used to go to India. Yes, can we help you?
Yes, Prabhuji, I'm sorry to disturb you all. Bhagavi told that she will be here for making garlands.
Bhagavi is not here.
Sorry.
This is my problem, she is not here. Ring her and tell her she should be here. Tell her I'm very angry.
I think she's doing a course. She's doing a course.
Yeah, I was just joking.
No,
I don't mind if she's not here.
Oh, sure.
So, what was I saying?
Good. But I just must be a
government. So who you give it to?
When I used to go to India, I used to give to many different places when I used to go around, you know, give donations here, give donations there. But then I realized after some time they don't always use it for Krishna's pleasure. So now I give most of my money to ISKCON. Yeah, I go to Mayapur, Vrindavan, then I give it to ISKCON. I give something, you know, in the other places, but I used to give nice donations to them. But then I see that they don't always use these things for Krishna. So just give it to ISKCON, that's the safe part. You can give a little bit here and there to support. So we want to perform akarma. And then Krishna says in the Gita, what's that verse where he says, a little bit of protection for the most dangerous type of fear? Alpa means very little. Little devotional service. Trayaja. Mahatobaya means it protects you from the greatest fear.
Protects you from what side?
Protects you from the greatest fear. Do something about this plastic. It's making all sorts of noise. Just get rid of it. Plastic's one of the worst things that is in Kali Yuga. Caused a lot of problems. Even the other day after Gaur Puja, very bad, it was very bad. You know, devotees, they brought things in plastic bags and stupid people dropped them on the ground. Right? And the cows were almost eating them. Right? Total stupidity. I mean, none of you did it, so it doesn't matter, but total ignorance. Plastic's destroying so many things. All the cows in India get sick because of plastic, and we should just use it as less as possible. You know, really give up using plastic. So, just an alpa, just a little bit of devotional service, protecting him from the most dangerous type of fear. Because he took birth as a lizard, but he still remembered Krishna. So because there was some connection to Krishna, some devotional service, he was able to remember Krishna and he remained pure. Now that's the power of bhakti, not devotional service. So, any points about this chapter? You go.
Towards the end, Lord Krishna mentioned that if we try to, if we accidentally take the property of a Brahman, then many, many generations upwards and downwards will undergo the reaction. And if we assert willfully from the Brahmanas, then again he says it will be much greater, many number of generations. I can't remember exactly, 10 up or 100 up and 100, I think it was 100 up and 100. That will be the reaction. So, and also he says that there is, though for a snake bite, there is antidote, but for a Brahmana's offense, there is no antidote. Of course, devotional service is still there.
Yeah, you have to beg forgiveness from the Brahmana. That's the way to. Yeah. So serious is the offense. Yeah.
And Srila Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur writes that this specifically was told by Lord Krishna to the Yadus, because Lord Krishna had that feeling that Yadus, because of their power, they might become proud. So that's why he enacted this whole thing. Asking him, and then it's almost like the Bhagavad Gita, where he speaks for the larger welfare, but he uses, as if he's speaking to the Yadus.
Yeah, good point. Good. Anything else?
Can you say Shungi, same thing? Shungi?
Yeah, became proud. Yeah. Contaminated by pride.
So. I remember reading, I think that it's even worse if you use like a government or to steal property from Brahmins. Even worse if you get strong people to go against the Brahmins. That's even more.
Yep.
Can you remember that I do this from the Brahmins?
Who is that?
In Mirabha,
make arguments from both governments and try to compensate them too.
Yeah, they were upset, so he had to get the reaction because they were upset.
But it's also mentioned in Shila Vishwanath Thakur that the Narakaloka, which is mentioned, where he, not Narakaloka, the Yamaloka, where he was supposedly taken, is not the same Yamaloka as where the miscreants are taken. He mentioned, so it's a different Yamaloka, looks like.
Or a different part of the Yamaloka.
Different part of it.
Yeah.
King said that you can take 100,000 cows, still eating, for him.
Yeah.
If he had done some austerity in that way.
So the problem is people are too complicated these days, that's the problem. Because it wasn't a big deal. You know, a cow just wandered a few feet, you just send the cow back. But everyone gets too caught up on rules and regulations and then it becomes a big problem. So.
What I was just wondering, if the king had done some austerity to please Krishna in that life, do you think he would have followed?
He'd done devotional service.
No, I mean to please Krishna.
Yeah, that's devotional service. Devotional service means...
Did you do it after that? After getting close?
Yeah.
And that's how he could have been.
Yeah.
Okay. Funny question, maybe it might be funny, I know someone asked. In this story that of Lada, he was purified by Krishna touching him. Now, if you see right, Duryodhana Karna, they have seen Krishna and Krishna has a blood relationship with them.
Because
and
they're
Krishna
envious.
Not touched them any time.
Because so they're envious, that's the point.
Oh, even though you're envious, you're close to...
Doesn't matter, you'd be right next to Krishna. If you're envious, then you can't see him. You have to be free from envy, that's the point. Okay, chapter 65. Lord Balaram visits
Vrindavan.
Yeah, so this chapter is very special. Because Lord Balaram goes back to Vrindavan. Krishna has been out of Vrindavan for around about 20 chapters at this point. And then suddenly, Vrindavan reappears, and the highest levels of devotional ecstasy, which is Mahabhav of the gopis, re-manifests again. So it's a very significant chapter, very relishable chapter. So it describes that Lord Balaram was forcibly dragged to Vrindavan. So powerful was Vrindavan's attraction and pull that even the Supreme Lord gets pulled there. That's how powerful Vrindavan is. Now there is that shloka which says Krishna can never take a step outside of Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is so powerful that even Krishna cannot leave. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. If he leaves Vrindavan, that's not the original form. The original form cannot, that's the power of Vrindavan Dham. So Balaram, he was dragged back to Vrindavan. So Krishna could not go because he was obstructed by the Yadu dynasty. Yeah, because they thought if he does go, he'll probably never come back. So they could not handle the thought that Krishna would not return. So even though Krishna was going to go with Balaram, he was fully obstructed by the Yadus. They made it very difficult for him, so he couldn't leave. It wasn't possible. So then, Balaram returns to Vrindavan, and he is greeted by all the Brijvasis. And we see the different rasas manifest. We see Sakya Ras fully manifest. We see Vatsalya Ras fully manifest. And we see Madhurya Ras. So all the rasas become manifest. Now the interesting quality of Vrindavan is that there is no blood relationship there. Krishna is not actually related to the Brijvasis. In another sense he is. In another sense he is the son of Yashoda and Nanda. But as far as the Bhagavatam teaches us, He is considered to be the son of Vasudevan?
Devaki.
So if he is the son of Vasudevan Devaki, then he is not the son of Nanda and Yashoda. But still, he has more attachment to Nanda and Yashoda than he does to Vasudevan Devaki. Which shows that it's not about blood relations, it's about your connection or the prema which is exchanged between individuals. As I said, you know, I have my blood family who are, you know, I'm connected to, but you know, I was reflecting on this today, I'm more attached to my devotional family than my blood family, because the devotional family is more sweet and pleasant, because all the relationships are based on Krishna consciousness. So that is more satisfying to the heart and to the soul. So Balaram, he's more attracted to Vrindavan even than Dwarika, and so is Krishna. So the Brijbasis, they are perfect. Why are they considered the topmost devotees? Because everyone in Vrindavan is a sannyasi. All the gopis are sannyasis. Right? They're coward boys. Mother Yashoda, everyone is sannyasi. Because what does sannyas mean? Your body, your mind, and your words is only used in the service of Krishna. That's sannyas. Right? So they are sannyasis of the highest order. Right? On the highest level. Right? They are completely attached to Krishna. And because they've renounced everything for Krishna's pleasure, particularly the gopis, they renounce everything just to please Krishna. They consider the highest of all of the devotees. There's no devotees that are higher than the gopis of Vrindavan. So when Balaram went back, he first of all associated with the Krishna's friends and his friends and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. But then finally he was able to associate directly with Krishna's gopis. As we know, Balaram has his own gopis. And when Krishna's gopis came before Balaram, there was great respect exchanged, because Balaram is the Supreme Lord himself, is the most exalted personality. But the gopis are so exalted that even Balaram respects them. Yeah. Their love is so powerful that even Balaram, he offers them great respect. And they offer equally, they offer him great respect, because he is Krishna's first expansion. So there's an extremely deep exchange between the gopis and Lord Balaram. So,
but those are the gopis of Krishna.
Yeah, no, Krishna's gopis. Yeah. So he's speaking to Krishna's gopis. And then there was a exchange where Balaram begins to speak about Krishna and about his pastimes. And then hearing that description, that Leela Kata, that Krishna Kata, then the gopis go into a deep state of ecstasy. And going into that deep state of ecstasy, they become united with Krishna. So the basic principle is we become united with Krishna through smaranam. Smaranam means remembrance. When you remember Krishna, you are with him. Krishna is not separate. He said that. There's that verse early in the Bhagavatam by Lord Shiva. You don't find Krishna in heaven, you don't find him in hell, you don't find him in anywhere in the material world. Wherever the devotees are speaking about Krishna, Krishna manifests at that place. So by hearing about him, remembering him, then Krishna manifested. They felt united with Krishna. So they were, they kept themselves alive because they kept themselves alive by Krishna's promise. What was Krishna's promise?
I will return.
Yeah, he will return to Vrindavan. So they were fully immersed in that thought, and being fully immersed in that thought, then they thought Krishna will come back, and that sustained their lives. That's how everyone in Vrindavan was able to live, simply for that reason. So then, the gopis are so exalted that they understood, they understand their supreme position. Not in an arrogant way or in a proud way, that they think that we are the best devotees, but they know they are the greatest devotees. And they know there's no one else in the creation who can please Krishna like they can, so therefore they are insistent that he comes back to Vrindavan, because if he comes back to Vrindavan, they can serve him. And if they serve him, then they can satisfy him. They know Krishna will be the most satisfied. So they want him to come back to Vrindavan. So then, as Balaram talks, it says they remember the five arrows which come from Krishna, the original Cupid, which completely satisfied it. What are the five arrows which pierce their consciousness?
Lord Krishna's eyes,
his smile, and his glance, and
speech.
Yeah, his talks, his speech, and then?
Mood, laughter, appearance, charm, and pastimes.
No, that's different. Yeah. Then his gait.
Gait
means how he walks.
Oh.
How he walks. And then his embrace. So these five things, they completely control the hearts of the gopis. So what are the five things? So his smile, his talks, his glance, his gait, and his embrace. So it fully captivates the gopis. So when we're feeling separated from Krishna, the guru pacifies us by giving us Krishna Katha. So Lord Balaram is the original guru. So in order to pacify the gopi, that's why he went to Vrindavan. He went to pacify the devotees of Braj, particularly the gopis. So then when he was in Vrindavan, he gave Krishna Katha. He spoke about Krishna. And describing these things, the gopis became pacified, and they felt that they were actually associating with him. So then, Lord Balaram stayed there for 2 months in Vrindavan. And while he was there in Vrindavan for 2 months, every night he performed rasa lila with his gopis. And Krishna's gopis would come and watch. And in that way they felt satisfied by seeing the dancing of the gopis of Lord Balaram with him. And that reminded them of their own rasa dance with Krishna.
But they didn't dance before.
No, they didn't dance, but they watched it. So then, after performing, one night after performing the rasa lila, Lord Balaram is intoxicated by drinking too much varuna juice. And when you drink too much varuna juice, you become intoxicated. So when he was intoxicated, he wanted to bathe in the Jamuna. So then he called the Jamuna. He said, "Hey, Jamuna, come here. Come here." So then Jamuna, she would not come, because you don't go near an intoxicated person. But then he became very angry and he picked up his plow. He was going to smash the earth and drag the Jamuna. So then she came and she bowed down before him. And then he took bath with all of his gopis and enjoyed these pastimes. Because the rasa lila, as we describe, as we discussed back in chapter 29 to 33, rasa lila has four components. What are the four components of the rasa lila?
Jalapeno, forest,
games,
and
The dancing, yeah. Yeah. So it has four components. They wander together through the forest. When they're wandering together, that's called Rasa Leela. And then they perform the actual Rasa dance. And then they perform Jal Keli. They enjoy in the river Jamuna. And then they go off into confidential kunjas and they enjoy pastime in the kunjas. So these are the different elements of the Rasa Leela. So Balaram was performing all these things and giving satisfaction to his gopis and Krishna's gopis who were watching. Any points?
Hey, Prabhuji, I got so many of the, you said only five arrows, but I got seven.
Seven arrows? Mm. Yeah.
It's the dark eyes, mind, hands, speed, gift, empress. You give seven.
Yeah, some of them are the same. So. Any other points?
With his love, he also makes hundreds of devotees.
Yeah. 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 Anything else? So what is the next chapter called?
Pondraka, the false Vasudev.
Pondraka, the false Vasudev. He thought he was Krishna. So, Pondraka. So in Kali Yuga we have the phenomena of the cheetahs and
the cheetahs.
People say they are Krishna, or sometimes they say they are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like that Kripalu. You know that Kripalu? That guru, false guru. So he says he's like a reincarnation of Mahaprabhu. One of his followers came to the farm and then I was discrediting him and she became a little bit upset. But that's the fact. The fact is they're false. They're not actual avatars. If you're an avatar, you must have the credentials of the avatar. So Pondraka is one of these false. And because people, they want cheap things and they follow these people. But actually they have no qualification. So then, when we become overridden by pride, then we become inappropriate in our speech and our behavior in front of superior people. So when you're proud, even when someone's more qualified than you, then you don't act properly. So then, Pondraka, he was challenging even Krishna. He was saying, come down here and we will fight and we'll see who is the real Vasudev and all this. It's just pride. And Krishna's far superior, which Krishna proved. But when you're proud, then you think you are better than what you are. So he was being proud in front of Lord Krishna. So then, Krishna will always humble. Pondraka sent his messenger to Dwarka, and when the messenger began to speak and said, you know, you're showing the symbols, but the symbols actually belong to me. You know, your chakra and your club and all these things, but they're actually they're mine. The others began to laugh. The Yadu dynasty were very amused. But Krishna, he did not speak so much. He just got on the chariot and then drove down to Pondraka's city. Because if you're actually potent in devotional service, you won't speak so much. You know, if we speak too much, say, oh, I can do this, I can do that, it means actually we're not that potent in devotional service. You know, when you are potent, then you will not speak, you will just act. You'll prove your potency through your activities. So then, Pondraka's friends were telling him that he was actually Vasudeva. So the point is that we need to surround ourselves with people who will tell us what we are actually like, not what we want to hear and what we think we may be. Right? So his friends were saying, yes, you are the Supreme. You can challenge Vasudeva, you can defeat him. So because of the being told these things and actually believing them, then unfortunately he was overcome by pride. So the basic principle is, in spiritual life we should follow, we should not imitate. Don't imitate Krishna or great devotees, just follow them. Pondraka, he was trying to imitate Krishna. He should not be imitating Krishna, he should just follow Krishna. Just surrender to him and be his devotee. So Krishna is not sentimental. He was very strong in the way he dealt with him. His chastisement was fair, it was appropriate, it was very strong. When we chastise someone, it has to be fair and appropriate. And it has to be strong. So the point goes through. Sometimes you have to be very firm. Because I was saying last night, you know, devotees I saw at the Gopuja, some devotees are not doing the right thing. So I had to say to them, this is not correct. So you have to correct people when necessary. Be firm, be fair, correct. So then, you have to choose your deity very carefully. Because when Krishna came down, Pondraka came out with his army. Krishna destroyed everyone. He destroyed Pondraka. He destroyed Pondraka's friend, the king of Kashi. And he took Pondraka's head and he threw it back over the wall. So they all the...
What's that? I think the
head was
of Pondraka.
Kashi said, threw it back over the wall to...
I
did, yeah. Yeah. So he threw Kashi's head back over the wall. And it landed there, and the citizens were very upset. So it means you have to choose your deity, you have to choose your guru very carefully. Don't choose a fallible guru. Don't choose a fallible deity. Yeah? Krishna is the only person we will worship. We won't worship anyone else, only Krishna. And we won't... surrender to any guru, only a bona fide guru who is in disciplic succession from Krishna. So this is the point. So, when Pondraka's son saw that he was dead, he tried to take revenge. So he did a yajna, invoked a demon, and then the demon attacked Dwaraka. No. But as the demon came towards Dwaraka, Krishna said to the Brijbasis, the Dambasis, he said, do not fear. No. And the point which is made is nothing inauspicious can enter the holy Dham. No, the holy Dham is always auspicious, so nothing inauspicious can go there. So we have nothing to fear. So because they'd surrendered to Krishna then, there was nothing to fear. And Krishna sent the Sudarshana Chakra. And the chakra chased the demon all the way back. And then he attacked the brahmanas who created him and killed the son of Pondraka, and everyone was destroyed. So the basic point is that if you commit offenses, you will be consumed by those same offenses. So be very careful. Don't offend. Because if you commit offences to devotees or to the deities or anyone, you will be consumed by that same offence. It will come back and destroy you. Okay. Any points?
Due to constant meditation of Pondraka and Lord Krishna, and as well as from the attained Sarupya.
Yeah, because if one dies free from envy, then one attains liberation. If one is envious in the time of death, then one does not get liberated. That's the point. Okay, so in chapter 67.
Lord Balaram says, slaves
in Dvaivida. Dvaivida. What sort of demon is Dvaivida?
Gorilla.
He is a gorilla.
Ape.
Ape, yeah. In Tamagun.
Tamagun.
The apes and the monkeys are in Tamil. So, actually he was a devotee. He was actually connected to Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana. But unfortunately he disrespected Lakshmana. And because he disrespected Lakshmana, then he lost his attraction to the service of the Lord. So same point. Bhagavatam is saying again and again and again. If you commit offences to the devotees or to the Lord, you will lose your attraction to devotional service. And we see, if people go away from devotional service because they're committing offences. Generally, that is the reason. Offences are being committed. So, offence, if you commit offences, you'll lose your attraction. If you lose your attraction, then you'll begin to associate with non-devotees. So that's what he did. He went and associated with demons, and then he became a demon. He was actually a devotee, but now he's acting like a demon. So then when he came in front of Lord Balaram, Lord Balaram was once again doing like a rasa dance on the side of the Raivata mountain, which is near Dwaraka. So he was there with his queens and doing some dance and enjoying. And then what took place is Dvivida came, and when he saw the ladies, he wanted to have some contact with them. So he began to act very inappropriately because he's a monkey and he's under the influence of Tamagun. So under that influence, he began to act inappropriately. And because he was acting like that, then Lord Balaram became very angry. So the basic point is the Lord does not like improper behavior. If the Lord sees us behaving improperly, he'll become angry and then he will attack. He'll begin to chastise. So then, Dvivida, he began to act inappropriately towards the associates of the Lord. If you offend holy people, or if you commit offences in holy places, then you will get heavy reactions. Like if you come here to the temple, there's a holy place, and if you commit some offence, then you will get reactions. If you're with holy people, with good devotees, and you commit some offence, then you will get reactions. That's the potency. So you have to be very careful. No? That's what Prabhupada says, devotional service is a razor's edge. If you act properly, you make very strong advancement. But if you act improperly, you can ruin everything very quickly. So, now Lord Balaram, he destroyed Dvivida after they had a fight. The reason Balaram was angry was because his lila was being disturbed. So we should also always be very careful not to disturb the devotees or the Lord, whatever service they're doing or whatever pastimes they're performing. We should just cooperate and we should serve the Lord and the devotees to enhance their pleasure, not to disturb them. Otherwise you'll get reactions like the Dvivida did. Any points?
The only point is in verse 2 of that.
Hey, you guys need to quiet down a little bit. Okay, just for around a few more minutes, so just please be quiet.
In the purports to verse 2 of this section, Jiva Goswami and Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur both point out the immediate reason as association with non-devotees, but the deeper reason was offenses to Vaishnava. But again, towards the end, the purport is also mentioned that actually, Dvivida and Mahindra, his brother, they are both Nitya Siddha devotees of the Lord. So the Lord arranged this pastime, Leela, for them to fall down. Just, and then, therefore, they are equated to Jay and Vijay in one sense, thematically. Their bottom is compared to Jay and Vijay. But they are Nitya Siddha devotees.
Good. Any other point? Then chapter 68, that is called?
The marriage of
Samba. The marriage of Samba. Samba is the? Son of Krishna. Born from which wife?
Jambavati.
So, Samba kidnapped Lakshmana. Lakshmana was the daughter of? Duryodhan. So, he's gone across to Hastinapur, kidnapped the daughter of Duryodhan and the Swayambhara, began to take her away, and the Yadus were, the Kurus were very upset. And because the Kurus were very upset, they arrested Samba. Now, Samba is an eternal associate of Krishna, he is his, one of his sons. So the fact that he could be arrested means that Krishna must have sanctioned it. Otherwise it was not possible. They would not be able to arrest Samba, because that's the potency of the Lord's associates. But Krishna allowed it because he wanted the pastime to take place. So then, Samba, when he was kidnapped, then they... the messenger went back to Dwarka and said to the Yadus that he has been... you guys have to calm down. Hey, you guys, you can't talk because you all keep talking. I can't concentrate while you're talking. So, just, you got a few more minutes? Just no more talking, otherwise you have to go out. So Samba, the message was sent back to the Kurus, the Yadus. And then when the Yadus, when they heard what was taking place, they immediately were going to attack the Kurus. And then Balaram, he pacified everyone, because Balaram did not want to see a conflict between the Yadus and the Kurus. So Balaram himself went across. And when Balaram arrived, he showed the proper etiquette. He offered respect to all of the great members of the Kuru dynasty. And offering respect to the Kuru dynasty, they also respected him. But then he spoke very straightforwardly. He said that if you do not return Samba to King Ugrasen, then your dynasty will be destroyed. The Yadus have become, they're very powerful, they've become very upset. So they also became very upset. Now, this was obviously a pastime which was taking place, that Krishna had allowed to take place. And Bhishma, he knew what was going to happen. So he was just playing along with the entire situation. But some of them were actually a little proud. So they were saying to Balaram that, no, we will not return Samba. We are the emperors, you are simply the dynasty which is ruled by us. But Balaram said, no, actually, we are the more powerful dynasty, even though you are the emperors. So it became very tense, the situation. So then they insulted, the Kurus insulted the Yadu dynasty. And because they were insulting them, and they had offended Lord Balaram, then Lord Balaram took his plow, and he was ready to take the entire city into the Jamuna.
Hastinapur.
Yeah.
It says Ganges.
Yeah, so it means at the source, they're one river, the Ganga and the Jamuna, and then they break off. One goes one way and then they come back again. So it's actually the Jamuna, but you can say the Ganges. Just depends which way you look at it. So Lord Balaram, he wanted to keep the peace, but they would not do it. So then he showed his supreme power. And he took the entire city, and he was about to take it in. So the basic point that Lord Balaram is teaching us is that we should always protect the honor of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. When it comes to protecting the honor of the devotees or the Guru or Krishna himself, then we should be very strong. as Balaram was. So Balaram, and then what happened? At the end of the chapter, they surrendered. And then when they surrendered, they all decided they were going to sit in one place and not move around so much. And be very obedient. So then they all decided that they would give Lakshmana to
Samba.
And the marriage was arranged. So when the marriage was arranged, then the two dynasties were amiable again. Everyone was friendly again. So the final chapter in this section is chapter 69. Chapter 69 is Narada visits Lord Krishna in Dwarka. So when he enters, he sees the Aishwarya of Krishna. Dwarka shows Aishwarya, Vrindavan shows Madhurya, Mayapur shows Adarya. Yeah. So here you see the Aishwarya of Krishna, because Krishna is in every single palace simultaneously, and in every form he is completely independent to all the other forms. Narada was moving from palace to palace. He could only expand himself into nine forms, and the nine forms had to do roughly the same thing. But Krishna was in many more forms, and he was doing unlimited. At one point, Narada was traveling palace to palace at the speed of the mind. Speed of the mind means you just think and you're there. So he was moving. But every time he went somewhere, Krishna was doing something different. So he was amazed at the size of Krishna's power, at the display of opulence. Even with Narada's power, Narada is very powerful, he felt completely insignificant before Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti, his opulence and his power, his potency. So then, when Narada first enters and sees Krishna, then Krishna receives Narada. And Krishna shows us the etiquette, yad yada charitam shrestas, that we should always offer respect to saintly people. When saintly people come, we should be respectful. We should receive them appropriately. So he received Narada appropriately. He got off his seat, offered the seat to Narada, right? And then said to Narada, let us serve you. He bathed Narada's feet. He took the water from Narada's feet, put it on his head and on the heads of his family members. Offered great respect. So then, Krishna in Dwarka is teaching us Dharma. Dharma means correct behavior. So he shows us Kshatriya Dharma, he shows us Grihastha Dharma, he shows us all the proper. Because when Krishna is in Dwarka, he's showing perfect behavior, how we should act. So there are many examples. Every time you see him, when Narada went to a different palace, whatever Krishna was doing, he was showing us how to act properly. So how we should act in all circumstances. And when you act properly in all circumstances, everyone becomes happy and satisfied. So then after seeing all this, Narada becomes very inspired. And then he says to Krishna, I want to just travel throughout the universe and preach your glories and explain to everyone what I've seen. So this is how a devotee feels when we see Krishna performing pastimes, when we hear about the Bhagavatam, when we hear these pastimes, we become inspired and we want to preach and share them with others. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan Ki
Jai.
Okay, so any points? Okay.